Does your basement leak only when it rains? At PermaSeal, we believe your basement should be dry all the time. For a free estimate, you know who to call, PermaSeal. 800-421-7325 or visit permaseal.net.
It's over.
Game over, man.
It's over.
It's time for the Chicago Blackhawks postgame show.
Give me the postgame.
On the Blackhawks Radio Network, here's Charlie Remeliotis.
Welcome into the Blackhawks postgame show. Charlie Remeliotis here in our downtown studios at WGN Radio in Chicago. After a 4-1 Blackhawks loss to the New Jersey Devils to wrap up a three-game road trip for the Blackhawks in New York, you can call or text 312-981-7200, going up to 330 today. Oh boy, let's go back to Prudential Center, and I'm not sure I want to bring in Troy Murray because I just know he's going to grill me for the jinx I had in the second. Go ahead, Troy.
No, I got nothing.
I know you're lying. Either you're saving it for tomorrow. You're going to pull some prank on me tomorrow, like remove my seat from the radio booth or something.
No, I'm not saying anything.
All right, so for those that missed it. Going into the third period.
I can't
period,
believe you said it.
I did. I don't believe in jinxes.
Neither do I.
Yeah, neither do I. The New Jersey.
No, I don't.
Yeah, I know. But you, in some way, you still want to blame me for this, which is okay.
Well, you're getting 100% blame for it.
Perfect.
But it's not your fault. I mean, you're a long ways away, and tomorrow you'll be in the same seat.
Or will I?
No, yeah,
you're talking about this seat in the studio. Oh, I'm being relegated.
Yeah.
So New Jersey, that was their first win this season when trailing through two periods. Just throwing it out there. That's the stat I threw out there going into the third. They were one of seven teams that hadn't won yet. And, of course, they had an onslaught in that third period. Troy, this kind of felt similar to the Islanders game where New Jersey scores three goals in 2 minutes and the game gets away from Chicago quickly.
Yeah. I mean, hard to kind of figure out what happened there on the island in the 217 and then 206 here. You know, New Jersey was pressing and pressing and pressing, and they're a relentless team, and that's kind of their team identity, speed and relentlessness, the way that they play the game. They don't slow it down. They move it. You know, they've got a lot of high-end skill up front. They've got defensemen that can move the puck, and it just kind of seemed like when they scored that first goal early on in the third period, they found an extra gear, and I think the Blackhawks, you know, just kind of were on their heels a little bit. They didn't create a lot of opportunities there, and they hung around, though, but all of a sudden, after that second goal, it went bang, 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 and, you know, all of a sudden you're in the same type of situation as you were on the island. So frustrating, I think, for the guys. You know, they're going to have to figure it out. They did kind of self-inflict a couple of the problems that happened in the third period. You know, Korchinski turns one over. It ends up in the back of the net. The long shift that you can't kill plays. You were looking to find a whistle. You know, even if Komesso could come up with a save, that he had an opportunity to get a whistle, he would do it. But, you know, that extended shift with the fourth line on the ice, they were drilled into the ground by the line coming onto the ice. It was a fantastic shift by the Devils. And, Blackhawks never got an opportunity to get anybody off the ice. So not only was it a long second shift, it was two parts of one that was there before the icing call. So they can't make the line change there. And it just seemed like it started to snowball again. And they found some rebounds. You lost some positions. And Komesso was not able to bail them out like he did a couple times in the first two periods.
What is it about those quick strikes where it feels like the first about month of the season, the Hawks didn't really find themselves in a position where they were giving up goals immediately after allowing a goal, but it seems like the last few weeks, and of course the two consecutive games, I mean, it just quickly snowballs. What is it about that the Blackhawks need to do a better job? Is it just more attention to detail, or is it just finding ways to get the next goal and not have to worry about it?
Well, it's kind of hard to explain and figure out why. It just, you know, you got on your heels. You made some mistakes. You started to feel the pressure, and maybe that's a little bit of the youth that was in the lineup making some mistakes that they shouldn't have made. They're, you know, this team that the Blackhawks have right now, not really a battle-tested team. You know, they'll grow into that, and they'll be able to handle those situations. But I think for, and we've talked about this before, where the players have to take some responsibility of knowing the moments of the game where you really have to elevate your play to make sure that you kill momentum or you can continue momentum. And they didn't do that in this game, and they didn't do it against the Islanders there. Whoever's out on that next shift, they got to come out and really set the tone and just reset the game and start it fresh, not rather, you know, being on your heels. But again, I think it's a little bit of the inexperience that the Blackhawks has through their lineups, not dealing with those situations. You know, you can't blame Comesso because he was excellent in this game. And until those three goals, it kind of got away. But there was stuff that happened around him, in front of him, that caused the opportunities. He wasn't able to come up with the big saves like he did in the first two periods. The Devils were certainly a better team through this 60 minutes, and they deserved to get the win. You got to give them a lot of credit because they're a good hockey team. And hopefully, as you move forward, you gain some experience in how you need to play the key moments, and you do a better job with it.
Yeah, poor Drew Comesso. He stopped all 17 shots he faced in the first two periods. He was easily the top Blackhawk through the first two periods, had kept Chicago in it. And unfortunately, he's going to finish this game with an .840 save percentage, but it doesn't feel like that's indicative of how he played tonight.
No, he was really good, and you can't fault him. He's going to be proud about it. I know his dad, John, was here, his mother, Lisa, his sister, brother, in attendance to watch his first official start in the NHL. It's frustrating for him, but I think he can really hold his head high the way that he played and held New Jersey scoreless through the first two periods. It was the third period when somebody jinxed him that things turned around and went
Who?
The wrong direction. I'm not going to mention names.
Who would do such a thing?
Who would do such a thing? But, you know, frustrating for the team. It'll start it off with a good victory in New York against the Rangers. But when you know, you kind of look at the big picture. They scored two goals in the last minute and a half of that game against the Islanders. They only scored two goals in the game against the Rangers, only one here this afternoon. You're not going to win many games by, you know, that few goals, especially when you're on the road. Special teams 0 for 3 really didn't get a whole lot going. As John said, the penalty kill was excellent in this game and continues scoreless against from the opposition power play now through eight games.
All right, last one for you, because I know you got to hit the road and get on the bus. What'd you think of Frank Nazar? It felt like he was a little quiet in this game, but New Jersey, boy, they play a real puck possession team that it's hard to get the puck from them.
Yeah, you know, there was so much hype for Nazar and how well he's played in the American Hockey League, but this is a different animal. I mean, when you look at it, the best players in the American Hockey League a lot of times are, you know, the lowest level at the NHL. You know, those are those players. Nazar is a special player, and he's going to be really good. But I think that, you know, the game just, it was faster for him. The adjustment probably wasn't there of the way that he needed to. You know, again, if you're looking at Nazar down the middle, you know, he lost six of his seven draws. That's always a concern. The Blackhawks were at 34%, you know, still way below what they need to be a competitive team in the faceoff circle. So, you know, it's a learning curve for him. He played just over 14 minutes, was minus one, had one shot in this game. You know, he didn't do anything spectacular. You know, he it's kind of a nondescript game from him, and he certainly wasn't an impact player in the game, but he'll get better. And it's tough, and this is a tough team to play against. You're coming in and playing one of the faster teams, and he's a fast player, but, you know, just didn't make the impact that he probably was hoping for, didn't get the results he was hoping for as well. But it's only the first game that he's played this season, and I'm sure he'll get another opportunity tomorrow afternoon at the United Center.
All right, good stuff, Troy. I want to say see you tomorrow, but you might relegate
me
won't. To here.
But you won't.
I might not be there, so you're gonna lock the radio booth on me, or steal my chair, or make sure, or Paul Zerang doesn't put my headset there. I don't know. I know you're gonna pull something on me tomorrow.
Well, I'm gonna change the lock on the door, and okay. I'm gonna take away your credential pass, so you're not gonna be able to get into the building. If you're gonna get in there, you sneak in, you get in the booth early, and I might yet let you do the game from there.
All right, I might. Do the Bulls have a game tonight? I might just put in a Bulls credential and then sleep overnight at the United Center. That's my workaround.
Hide underneath the table.
All right, Troy. Safe travels back home.
All right. Thanks, Charlie.
That's the great Troy Murray from New Jersey. Hawks end a three-game road trip today against the Devils. Ended up picking up just two out of a possible 6 points. And boy, it honestly felt like they could have had six of six if they really hunkered down. You look at the last game against the New York Islanders, the scoring chances at even strength were 30-13 for the Blackhawks against the Islanders. And it was really that three-goal stretch in a span of 2 minutes and 16 or 17 seconds that really unraveled for the Blackhawks in the last game. You could even probably rewind it to the Philip Kurashev goalie interference call, which again, none of us thought it was goalie interference. Darren Pang didn't think so. Troy Murray didn't think so. I didn't think so. And unfortunately, that kind of led to the snowball effect of the Islanders winning. And then in this game, Hawks go into the third period with a 1-0 lead. By all accounts, played fine through two periods of hockey. I mean, they certainly gave up their chances, and Drew Chamesso was terrific, but New Jersey is a high-flying offense, and they're legitimately one of the best offenses at 5-on-5, just generating chances. And so there's no surprise that they were able to generate some chances in the first two periods. But for the Hawks to take a 1-0 lead into the third period, and then it quickly gets away from them, man, there were some missed opportunities for the Blackhawks in this game, especially in the third period. The Hawks opened that third with, I think it was a little more than a minute and 15 seconds of power play time, failed to capitalize on that. And then shortly afterwards, Connor Bedard slices and dices through a couple of New Jersey defensemen, ends up getting in alone on a breakaway and hits the crossbar. It was actually his second crossbar of the day. He had one really early in the game. Tyler Bertuzzi hit a crossbar as well. So the Hawks, it was another game where the Hawks hit three posts or crossbars. I know they did in the last game too. Or maybe it was the Rangers game where it's like Pat Maroon hit one and Tyler Bertuzzi hit one in the third period against the Rangers. So Hawks have been a little bit unlucky in that department. But then, you know, failed to capitalize on that power play. Then Connor Bedard misses that chance to also put the game 2-0 for Chicago. And then New Jersey ends up scoring the next goal to make it 1-1. It was Dawson Mercer gets behind backdoor. TJ Brody kind of spun behind the net and looks like he kind of brain cramped a little bit and forgot to guard Dawson Mercer. And then I don't know what happened between Allen and Dickinson. I think they both went for couldn't remember who the player was that passed it to Dawson Mercer. I think it was Luke Hughes. Ended up passing it to Dawson Mercer, and they kind of overcorrected or sold on Luke Hughes. Anyway, nothing Chamesso could have done there. But then 8 minutes later, New Jersey scores on the second one, an extremely long shift for the Blackhawks. Every single player on the ice logged north of 2 minutes on that shift. And I think it was 2.5 by Vlasic and Kaiser. And so they were absolutely gassed by the end of it. They score to make it 2-1. And then less than 2 minutes later, Nico Hischier makes it 3-1. Kevin Korchinski turns the puck over in the offensive zone. And then, of course, 18 seconds later, Timo Meier scores to make it 4-1. So that's 3 goals in 2 minutes and 6 seconds. It's another game where the Blackhawks, again, those quick strikes where that was kind of a theme with the Blackhawks last season. But this year, through the month of October and even the first week or so in November, you didn't really see much of that by Chicago. It wasn't until I think it was the Philadelphia game where the Hawks were leading 2-0, then ended up losing 3-2 in overtime. Then the Black Friday game, Hawks were up 2-0, and then Minnesota scores 2 goals in a very short span. I can't remember if it was 17 seconds or something like that. And so all these quick strikes where the Blackhawks are leading in games, but they have trouble shutting them down. And I mentioned the jinx. The Devils were 0-8-2 going into this game when trailing through two periods this season. They were just one of seven NHL teams that hadn't picked up a win yet in that department. On the flip side, this was the 12th time in the last 13 games the Blackhawks have scored the first goal of the hockey game, and they have only 3 wins to show for it in those 12 of 13 instances. 3-9-1 when scoring the first goal in the previous 13 games of the Blackhawks. They were 5-0-1 in the first six games of the season when scoring first. So it's really taken a turn for Chicago. They've now scored the first goal 19 times this season, which is the leader in the NHL. The Blackhawks lead the NHL in that department, and their record is 8-9-2 in those games, and it's a sub-500 win percentage. They're one of six teams that are below 500 when scoring the first goal. Vancouver is one of them. Detroit is the other, or is the second one. The New York Islanders are the third. The Buffalo Sabres, the fourth. The Nashville Predators are the fifth. And obviously Chicago is the sixth, but Chicago is a little bit higher in that standing. So that's not great company that you want to be with when you're kind of factoring in with Detroit and Buffalo and Nashville. All of those teams are are really struggling in that department, or just overall on the season. And so it's unfortunate the Blackhawks haven't been able to power through in that department. All right, we got some Blackhawks sound rolling in. Let's throw to Nick Foligno, Blackhawks captain. I know the Blackhawks have Nick Foligno is kind of the messenger of the Blackhawks, especially after tough losses. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss.
Two straight games that happens in the third. Yeah. How do you clean that up?
Yeah, I mean it's collectively in this room. I mean it's just understanding, like, why are we getting so down after a goal? I mean, it's the reality. It's the NHL. I mean, you're not going to win every game with 1-0, right? Teams are going to score, and we do it to other teams. So why are we so flustered, it seems like, after they score one on us? Or they seem now teams to come in waves, and we don't know how to handle it. It's like they score one goal, reset, next line goes out, do your job, you know? And it just shouldn't snowball into 2, 3, 4 goals. And that's how you fix it. You trust that what your line, the next line is going to do is go get the momentum back or play a 50-50 shift, and then you just work your game back to getting the momentum on your side. And right now it seems like we're trying to get the goal back right away, or we're forcing things. And I mean, it's unacceptable at this point. I mean, Anders has put in a hell of a game plan. We really like the way we have to play, and we'll play for him. And we just got to start playing the whole game like that.
Did it feel like there was 40, 15 minutes of good hockey, yeah, and then just a little bit kind of ruined everything?
Yeah, you saw it. I mean, we played against a really good team. We played really solid. They didn't get much. Yeah, they're going to have their chances. They're an off-the-rush team, but it was kind of anything that we gave them, they got. But otherwise, they had, you know, we forced them to make turnovers. We're playing on their end. You know, we get a great goal, and it just, you know, from playing the right way. And it just, I don't know why it's slipping away from us at certain points in games. We're a more mature team than that. You know, there's enough guys in here that know how to play. So it's unacceptable, honestly.
I just feel bad for Chamesso.
Yeah, he made some unbelievable saves, too. And that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, we can't every night rely on our goalies to win us games, right? Like, that's a sign of a bad hockey team. Like, if Chamesso has to pitch a shutout in his first NHL game, it's not, I mean, it's a great feather in his cap, but it's not a good sign for us, right? So we need to play in a way that allows our goalies to feel confident that even if one does squeak by or however, that we come back and we support him, you know. And he played outstanding tonight. He's been great, and some huge saves. And but that, you know, that's for Chamesso, that's for Peter, that's for Sody. And the message has to be a little bit better in this room of how we're going to support these guys instead of them just supporting us all the time.
Seemed like the penalty kill has kind of been a bright spot. I think 21 for 21 last eight games.
Yeah, I mean, we're proud of that. Special teams has to win you games. And, you know, we got to find out, even that power play one where we have a chance to put the game up 2-0, got to find a way. You know, that's the points of the season we're at right now, where special teams can make a big difference in wins and losses. And, you know, we're doing the job on the PK side. And, you know, we want to obviously get some more on the power play, but we got to stay with it. And, you know, we got to still find ways to get momentum wherever we can.
Dart hit a couple of posts. Bertuzzi hit a post. Yeah. Does that add to the frustration of, you know, when they do score and that's maybe gets some guys ahead?
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the game, right? Like, we, you know, when you're hitting the post, I always look at it like, well, you're doing the right things too. You're in positions to score goals and to have chances to put the puck in the net. So the next one's going to go in, right? You put yourself in a position to do that again, you're going to put it in. And we have to stay with it. Instead of getting frustrated, we're not a team in a position to get frustrated right now. We're going to work our way through this and get ourselves out of it. There's no help coming, right? There's no team that's going to give us a free night. They're smelling blood right now. So we got a great opportunity. It's kind of nice sometimes you get to play that 24 hours later. Right, you know, the wrong of playing the island, and got a good opportunity in front of us.
That was Blackhawks captain Nick Foligno talking about the 4-1 loss to the New Jersey Devils, where the Blackhawks gave up 4 goals in the third period, 3 in a span of 2 minutes and 6 seconds. And you can hear the disappointment, the frustration in his voice and in the tone of it as well. Kind of a lot of quotes that I was writing down. He said they got flustered. The Blackhawks were forcing things. We need to be a more mature hockey team. Called it unacceptable. I mean, these are a lot of straightforward words on where the areas the Blackhawks need to get better. And again, you look at some of the games, and not to kind of rewind to before the coaching change. I'm sure when Blackhawks general manager Kyle Davidson was wrestling with whether to make a coaching change, the Hawks have been, again, it's another game where the Blackhawks were either leading, tied, or trailing within one in the third period of a hockey game. It's only happened one time where that hasn't happened. It was October 22nd versus Vancouver when they lost 6-3 at the United Center. So the Hawks have been competitive in all these games, and under Luke Richardson, the Hawks have found ways to lose, whether it was after scoring the first goal or was taking leads into the third period. And it kind of seems to be a trend that's continuing. It kind of feels a little bit differently because the Hawks are turning it. Like mentioned, the Islanders game on Thursday where the Hawks led 30-13 in even strength scoring chances. And on Monday against the Rangers, like they felt like they were the better hockey team and in control of that game. And even in the third period of that Rangers game on Monday, you saw the Blackhawks when they were leading 2-1. They were still the aggressors in the third period, which we hadn't seen in the prior weeks leading up to the coaching change, whether it was the Blackhawks scoring or getting a power play, Bertuzzi hitting a crossbar, Donato had a breakaway against the Rangers in the third period. So it was like they had all those opportunities to score the third goal. And fortunately, they still won that hockey game, but they didn't have the mentality of sitting back and protecting the lead. They had that mentality of, hey, let's go get this third goal. Even if we don't get it, let's just play on our toes and make sure that we have the mentality that we're going to try to go get this next goal. And you just knew that going into this game against New Jersey, going into the third period, where the Hawks hold a 1-0 lead, it's like, man, it's very hard to shut out the New Jersey Devils. They have such a high-powered offense. They have defensemen that can contribute offensively as well. And so you knew, like, that Devils push is coming. And for the Blackhawks to start the third period with a power play, it's almost like you knew that if they didn't capitalize on that, that was going to be a momentum kind of kill for the Devils. The crowd is going to cheer. They're going to get into it. And then you just knew that if New Jersey scored that next goal to make it 1-1, it just totally opens up the floodgates for them, because then they're feeling themselves. The building is into it. I mean, it's really a similar script to a lot of these games where the Blackhawks, the Blackhawks have been in. The Philadelphia game sticks out to me from a few weeks ago when, you know, it's like they were leading 2-0 in the third period, but you just knew that once Philly got that first one, that it could open up the floodgates, and it did. And same with the Minnesota game. So it just seems to be a theme for the Blackhawks, unfortunately, that you hope. You heard from Nick Foligno. He was really frustrated by the effort in the third period and not being able to get that next goal. Connor Bedard hits the crossbar twice in this game. Bertuzzi hit a crossbar. So it's just a tough game for the Blackhawks, and I'm sure they want to get rid of that bad taste in their mouth going into tomorrow's game against the New York Islanders. But it's just hard to, you know, I'm looking at the Blackhawks schedule right now. It's like they still haven't won back-to-back games in regulation this season, or that they've only won back-to-back games just twice this season, never winning more than 2 in a row. And just all these games that have L's next to them were very winnable hockey games. And unfortunately, in a lot of those, they didn't even pick up a single point, let alone 2 points. And so that's got to be the frustrating thing, where even if you're accumulating some points together, it still feels like you're just chipping away in the standings. But when you come up totally empty, when you're leading in these hockey games, whether it's 1-0 scoring the first goal or leading in going into the third period, and you don't end up with any points, that is just as demoralizing, if not way more demoralizing, than not picking up the win. So tough loss for the Blackhawks. We'll see how they respond on Sunday, tomorrow afternoon at the United Center against the New York Islanders. We got some more sound to get to on the other side of the break. Jason Dickinson, he's always one of my favorite quotes to listen to. Very insightful in his post-game thoughts. We'll hear from him on the other side of the break as the Blackhawks post-game show rolls on after this on 720 WGN.
In the slot, Hawks zone, Mercer fires, save made by Comesso, rebound, Meyer shoots and scores. So three quick goals by the New Jersey Devils in the span of under 3 minutes. And this is looking very similar to the scene we saw on Long Island. It's now 4-1 New Jersey with 7:28 left in period number three.
Back on the Blackhawks postgame show, that sure did feel like a similar situation against the Islanders a few days ago at UBS Arena, where the Blackhawks gave up three goals in a 2-minute and 6-second span. They gave up three goals on 2:17 against the New York Islanders. Let's get to today's player of the game, which is sponsored by Burger King. Get your $5 Whopper Jr. today. You rule. Jesper Bratt was named the first star of the hockey game after picking up two assists. He also had five shot attempts and finished with 18:44 of ice time. I was looking at their line altogether. Jesper Bratt, Jack Hughes, and Andre Palat. We were talking about it in the pregame show, where that trio is one of the best lines in hockey with their speed, their energy. The way they forecheck is just unbelievable. And they went into this game sixth in the entire NHL in expected goals for at 13.2 as a line. And looking at the numbers for the Blackhawks in this game, the shot attempts were 14-11 in favor of Chicago when that trio was on the ice. So the Hawks did a nice job of limiting that line. It was really just the 2 minutes that it unraveled for Chicago, unfortunately. So hard to be disappointed about the overall effort. It's just those mental lapses that Anders Sorensen had talked about after the Islanders game that transferred over into this New Jersey game, especially in that third period. And of course, there were those missed opportunities for the Blackhawks that we laid out too. So tough loss. Let's go to Jason Dickinson, who's been wearing the A on his sweater with Seth Jones out of the lineup, and hear what he had to say about this loss.
Seemed like you guys were playing the game you wanted to play, and then they get one long shift in the zone, get that goal, and then kind of snowballs from there. What went wrong?
Yeah. You get tired. They're a good team that can move around. They're shifty. They get a good ozone change. Fresh guys jump on the ice. Guy comes right down the slot, scores. Our line jumps out there. We let in another one. It's just one of those things that, like, you got to mitigate the mistakes so that when they happen, it's once and we move on. But it seems like it happens and then it happens again. And we're caving in on ourselves. We're feeling the pressure. You know, we want to do so much. We do too much. We do somebody else's job, and we should just trust him to do his job. Protect the backside, protect the net front, protect the drop. You know, all sorts of different areas that, you know, you want to do so much good that in the event that it unfold, or in the way that it unfolds, we end up doing too much sometimes.
How do you mentally toughen a team that you can take that without it snowballing?
Oh, it's really tough to just find it. You know, it takes doing it. You know, once it happens, you start to feel it, and then it's like, oh, that's what it is. You know, we keep doing that, and we're going to keep feeling good, and we're going to keep creating offense, and we're going to keep the puck out of our net. We're going to do a bunch of good things. So, you know, you talk about it, you say all those things, like, yeah, we're good, stay confident, don't worry. But the brain is a strong thing that can be very overpowering and stop you from being able to get out of it. And you just got to keep powering through, really. That's all it comes down to, is being able to just keep pushing. Because if you do it enough times, you're going to start to feel it. It's going to become habit, and you're just going to be able to roll.
You weren't out there for that marathon shift, but in your experience, when you are stuck out there for that, does it just get harder to make decisions quickly when you're that fatigued?
Yeah, absolutely. Once you get tired like that, the brain starts to shut down. So you stop seeing the open ice, you stop seeing the other options, and you just get the puck on your stick, or you miss a guy on your backside because you're so focused on what's in front of you and you're not able to see the whole ice. So it gets a lot tougher once you're that gassed to really make the best possible play.
What did you think of the performance overall, especially the first two periods where it seemed pretty solid?
Yeah, lots to be proud of, but in the end it's a loss, so it's something that we got to go right back to the drawing board, go watch some video. We got a game tomorrow to bounce back. We go look at some things and say this is what we were doing right, and we just got to get back to that. If we keep doing that, we're going to get results, but we can't let what happened for those, I don't even want to know, it was probably under 8 minutes, can't let what happened in those 8 minutes dictate the entire game. You know, there's going to be lots of games where we're going to dominate for 8 minutes, we might not score, but when we get a little bit pinned down like that, we can't let that be the outcome of the game.
That was Blackhawks alternate captain Jason Dickinson, always insightful in the way he can break down the game, and just he's talking about the mitigating mistakes, especially in that third period where things kind of unraveled, and we talk ad nauseum about the shifts after goals against. But I thought it was interesting the way he was saying it's really hard to talk about the shifts after goals and how things snowball so quickly when it goes against you, and it's almost like you have to experience what it's like, so that way when you do experience it, then you're like, oh, that's what it feels like. And so I thought it was interesting the way he was talking about the mental aspect of it. You know, it obviously the entire team knew that when New Jersey ended up scoring a goal in the third period, they knew the push was going to come. They knew that the building ended up injecting some energy into the entire, the crowd got into it. The Devils started to feed off of it. They got the confidence. Then they get the first one by Drew Commesso, and maybe he starts to not doubt a little bit, but at that point he had stopped 17 of 17 shots and he was really feeling himself. And so then you get one by a rookie goaltender and it's like, okay, now how is he going to respond to this adversity after giving up his first goal in the National Hockey League? And so it just really snowballed quickly. And, you know, but I liked the, it was interesting the way Dickinson was breaking it down, the psychological aspect of just mitigating the mistakes that lead to snowball effects. And by the way, Dickinson, that was his sixth goal of the season. That was his first goal on the road this year. His first five came at the United Center. So a very bizarre goal. I think the puck went off the post, then off of Luke Hughes' face and in. It was funny watching Dickinson's reaction when he went to the Blackhawks bench to celebrate and kind of fist bump everyone. He was literally laughing and then immediately turned his head and looked up at the Jumbotron because he was confused as to how that puck went into the net. So very weird goal. He'll take it. But yeah, it was interesting to hear his full post-game comments kind of breaking down this loss and the snowball effect that it led to. All right, let's go to Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen. Let's hear what he had to say after this loss.
How would you assess that game?
I thought we were we played well, especially at the end of the second period. We hung in there, we played, put the pace, and then we've kind of found a way again, right, to shoot ourselves in the foot a little bit, get pinned. You know, some puck management issues that led to goals against.
Is there a little mental fragility here? You know, the guys can't handle giving up a bad goal and then it snowballs?
Yeah, a little bit. The last two games has been, for sure. We got to be better there. We got to understand that the next shift is a big one. And I thought we did that after the first one, but then they get two quick ones after. You know, after we kind of played off a couple minutes there. But, yeah, it's something we got to definitely address, yeah.
Safe to say Kaiser probably should have gotten that puck out on the second goal.
Yeah, I think there was a lot of moments in that shift where we could have done a lot of things better.
Yeah, it seemed like Brody kind of had a tough game as well. What do you think of him?
Yeah, there were some tough bounces and whatnot that didn't go his way, but, you know, a little bit better.
You feel for Commesso, he was playing so well up until everything kind of fell apart there defensively.
Yeah, really. I mean, good for him. Had a good, strong game. So overall, good game for him, first start.
Do you have to help him realize that? I mean, he's not going to be feeling great after, you know, giving up the four goals.
Yeah, I think he'll be fine. And guys in the room will help him out as well. We'll talk to him tomorrow.
Coming in with a relatively fresh mindset, perspective on this. I mean, the team all year has struggled in third periods, and it seems like just one thing goes wrong and costs a lot of games. What do you attribute that to?
Well, if we had the answer, I'm not sure we would do it. But we're chipping away at it. We're talking about it, looking at it, and probably more of a mindset than anything. I don't think it has to do anything with the structure or players. It's more of a mindset as a group that we got to be realize those situations and just be better.
That was Blackhawks interim head coach Anders Sorensen talking about this loss. The two things that he was saying, they shot themselves in the foot, and also it was the puck management issues that led to the unraveling of the Blackhawks in the third period. I think it's easy to look at the first goal and the first goal against, and you see Dawson Mercer scores on the backdoor tap in. TJ Brody was late to get there. He looks like he kind of brain cramped a little bit, but and then ended up getting there a little bit late. Then on the second goal against, it was a very long shift. I think every player on the ice logged north of 2 minutes of ice time, and so they were absolutely gassed. And when you're in that mode or in that mindset, you kind of just shut down mentally, and you're just desperately hoping for a clearing attempt that's not an icing so they can get off the ice. And then obviously the third goal against, you can rewind it all the way back to the offensive zone, and it was Kevin Korchinski turning the puck over. It looked like he was going to the pass back door. I can't remember exactly who it was off the top of my head, but it ended up leaving the zone and led to a 3-1 kind of a rush attempt by Nico Hischier, and he put the puck in the back of the net. I don't even know what happened on the fourth goal. I think by that point that the Hawks just were kind of, they were still inside their own heads as to how this game went from 1-0 to 3-1 so quickly, and it was the second goal or the third goal in a 2 minute and 6 second span. So a tough one for the Blackhawks. We got more to get to on this Blackhawks postgame show, including our save of the game, and we'll break down Drew Comesso's first career NHL start right here on 720 WGN.
Here's Howland into the Hawk zone right wing side. He's shielded off the puck and then ridden into the end glass with a check from Vlasic, then got the puck back in front of fires, and a glove save is made by Drew Comesso. That's the save of his career right there in his first NHL start. He just took a goal away from Erik Haula. Well done by Drew Comesso.
That was today's save of the game, which is sponsored by the ComEd Energy Efficiency Program. Learn more at comed.com/poweringbiz. Drew Comesso's first career NHL start. He made a relief appearance on Thursday against the Islanders in the third period with about 12 minutes left in the third, faced just two shots on goal, and he stopped both of them. But there's something different when you are tabbed to start in an NHL game where you have a couple days to think about it. You go through your preparation, your routine, and so you got family flying in, like his family was in New Jersey, and so you got all that added pressure. But man, he was awesome through two periods of play. Ended up stopping all 17 shots he faced through the first 40 minutes of hockey, his best one being the sound that you just heard on Erik Haula, a huge glove save that kept this thing in the hockey game. And for me, the thing that jumped out at me, though, watching Comesso, is how quiet of a goaltender he is. He's very stationary in his crease. Doesn't seem like he loses his net a lot. You know, you watch when Marc-Andre Fleury was here with Chicago for that one season, and just watching him over the last decade and a half to 20 years, he is very he's very animated in net. Like, he's always flopping around, and he's diving, making diving saves, and he's poke checking. It seems like Comesso is very stationary in net. And unfortunately, in that third period, the unraveling got away from the Blackhawks. He ended up giving up 4 goals on 7 shots. So he finished with 20 saves on 24 shots. I think they took away a shot. It was originally 21 of 25, but now it's 20 of 24 shots for an save percentage of .833. So unfortunately, the stat line does not look great for Comesso, and he picks up the loss as well. But I thought he was terrific in this hockey game. I don't think you could look at any of those 4 goals against and think he could have done something differently. you know, I don't want to go through each of the four goals again, but there were some breakdowns and long shifts, and not much you could have asked more for out of Chamesso. And it was interesting that the Hawks ended up giving him this game instead of the Islanders game. We talked in the last post game show on Thursday against the Islanders. I thought maybe they would give him Sunday more of a lower potent type offense with the Islanders, where they play more of that defensive kind of style, and so maybe I thought that would have been a better situation to throw him into. Having said that, it's going to be the second game of a back-to-back for the Islanders, and the Islanders have been waiting on the Blackhawks since Thursday, the Islanders are going to come into that game fresh, and I'm not sure it would have been fair for Chamesso to have his first start at home at the United Center against an Islanders team that scored five against Chicago the previous game, but also the Blackhawks coming in on the second game of a back-to-back, so you figure they're going to have some tired legs. But Chamesso was awesome in this game, no complaints there, and it was good to see too, because he had not been performing well in Rockford. His stat line in the 10 games with the Ice Hogs this season: 4-6 record and a 3.34 goals against average and an .879 save percentage. It kind of reminded me of the situation when Jackson Staber was here a couple years ago, when Peter Mrazek went down with a groin injury. Alex Stalock was in concussion protocol, so it was Arvid Soderblom and they had to recall Jackson Staber. And then there was one point where Soderblom wasn't available. I can't remember why, but Staber got a run, and he ended up having he turned in six starts, and he had a .911 save percentage and won five of those six games, despite in Rockford, or when he got called up, I think he had like a sub .890 save percentage. So he wasn't performing well, and they were around the same age. Chamesso is 22. Jackson Staber was 23 at the time. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a little bit more structure in the NHL, where it's easier, not easier on goaltenders, but it's easier. There's more structure in the NHL versus the AHL, where it can be a little bit scrambly and tracking pucks and systems can be a little bit challenging. But a great performance today by Drew Chamesso, even though that the stats don't look favorable for him. Let's talk about Frank Nazar. This was his first, this is kind of the big game for him, where you sensed all week that you felt like a Nazar call-up was coming. Just didn't know when it was going to come, whether it was going to come at the beginning of the road trip, middle of the road trip, end of the road trip, after the road trip. And he ends up getting called up yesterday, was able to turn in a full practice with the Blackhawks. He slotted in at the second line center position between Taylor Hall and Tyler Bertuzzi, two players that have really started to get going lately. And that line wasn't too noticeable today. Shot attempts were 12-5 New Jersey when the three of them were on the ice. And even just looking at Nazar's stat line specifically, ended up logging 14:01 of ice time, had just one shot on goal. He had a giveaway, a block shot, and he only won one of his seven faceoffs for the Blackhawks. Again, not terribly surprised by that performance, because New Jersey is a team that they dominate puck possession, and is really hard to take the puck away from them, but also to keep the puck from them. And so you're not going to get as many puck touches against a team like the Devils. And so decent first game for Nazar. I'm sure he would like for it to go a little bit better, but I'm sure that there's going to be a bounce back performance against the Islanders on Sunday, tomorrow at the United Center, where he can get a little bit more puck touches. The power play had a tough afternoon, I should say. The first one, really bad entries. The second one, the second unit was much better than the first one. And then of course on the third power play, Hawks failed to capitalize at the end of the second, and then early in the third period, which eventually led New Jersey to scoring the next goal. And so you think Nazar getting some run there on the power play to help develop some chemistry with Connor Bedard in the long term. I know they're not really going to play on a line together, since both of them are centers, unless over time, once the centers and the new players that are in college or in juniors start to become full-time professional players and full-time NHL players with the Blackhawks, then the Hawks can kind of tinker with where everyone's going to slot in. But right now, Hawks have had a gaping hole in the second line center position, with Connor Bedard anchoring the first line, Jason Dickinson anchoring the second line, and really having a hard time filling that second line center role. It was Filip Kurashev for a while. Ryan Donato has slid into that role on occasion. The Hawks were hoping Andreas Athanasiou could do some can kind of take control of that during training camp. Lucas Reichel, I think, found himself in that role maybe once or twice. Maybe I'm misremembering, but the Blackhawks have desperately missed a guy like Frank Nazar to kind of take control of that second line center position. So we'll see how he can help elevate the group moving forward. And then lastly, Craig Smith did not play in this game because of a lower back injury. So Teuvo Teravainen was on the fourth line with Patrick Maroon and Lucas Reichel. And yeah, another tough one for Teravainen. Had only one shot, two giveaways, and he won his only faceoff that he took. Logged 16:32 of ice time. So Teravainen, the Blackhawks are going to need him to get going too offensively if they want to try to break out of this slump of not being able to string together some wins in a row. All right, we got one more break to get to, and then we're going to wrap up the Blackhawks postgame show after this. Wait till you hear Patrick Waugh's comments after the Thursday game against the Blackhawks. Despite winning that game, we'll air it next on 720 WGN.
A win is a win, and we played to win games. But I guess times has changed. Because in my days, if my team would have done that to me, I will break a stick in that room. I'll be very upset to see my team playing like this in front of me. Ilya is a gentleman. He's a first-class person. But that was unacceptable. We didn't compete. We didn't battle in front of the net in the last 8 minutes. That's unacceptable. We talk about it this morning to be stronger. Our goalie deserves more respect than this from ourselves.
That was New York Islanders head coach Patrick Waugh after the Blackhawks game on Thursday. Despite his team winning 5-4 over the Chicago Blackhawks, he was not happy about the way they finished that game. That leads us into today's next game preview, which is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Patrick Waugh he's as fiery a goaltender as we've seen in NHL history, one of the best to ever do it. And for him to say that, even though they won the game 5-4, the Islanders were in that third period, ended up leading 5-1, and he was disappointed in the way that his team in front of him finished the game because it made Ilya Sorokin's numbers look bad by the end of it. And he understands that feeling as a goaltender when, you know, like, if you're a player and you have a bad game and you're a -1 or whatever, -2, it's like, okay, you can get that back the next game. But when you're a goaltender, you know, that you look at save percentages and they take a lot of pride in protecting their net. And so we'll see how the Islanders respond to that, to Patrick Waugh calling them out, because they haven't had a game between Thursday and tomorrow's matchup. They're going right into it. So we'll see the response from the Islanders. I also got some injury news from the New York Islanders. I know the last game, so Matt Barzal, Anthony Duclair, and Adam Pellick, they've all been out with injuries for more than a month. And it sounds like Adam Pellick is going to play tomorrow against the Blackhawks. Matt Barzal is a game-time decision. He hasn't played since October 30th with an upper body injury. Anthony Duclair will not play, but he will travel. And then I guess Bo Horvat is considered day-to-day, and so I'm not sure what his status is. I can't remember what happened in the Blackhawks game and whether he got injured. But then lastly, the Islanders ended up placing Pierre Engvall and Oliver Wahlstrom, a former first-round pick, on waivers yesterday. Wahlstrom got claimed today by the Boston Bruins. So Boston is getting some help. The Islanders kind of shaking things up after being, that they haven't had the greatest season as a team. And so again, we'll see how the Islanders respond tomorrow against the Blackhawks after their head coach, Patrick Waugh, called them out. Blackhawks hockey is sponsored by Plumbers 911 Chicago, where they do it right the first time. Your Chicago and Northwest Indiana Hyundai dealers, Circa Sports Illinois, United Airlines, and Citgo. When you start with Citgo, you're good to go. Big thanks to all the help we had on the broadcast today. Our production crew of Alan Poppy and Patrick Hennessy. They were led by our engineer, the captain, Krista Flores. For John Weideman and Troy Murray, who brought you the call from New Jersey, I'm Charlie Romeliotis, signing off after a 5-1 Blackhawks loss to the Devils to wrap up a 3-game road trip. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you tomorrow afternoon from the UC.